Before proceeding with any business, I believe Mr. Cook has a statement to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Apologize.
Public notice of this meeting containing all items on the proposed agenda has been filed in the Office of Secretary of State as required by Chapter 551 of the Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act. I would like for this fact to be noted in the official record of this meeting. So that everyone here today will have a chance to address the Commission in an orderly fashion, we will follow the following ground rules will be followed. An individual wishing to speak before the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission must first fill out and sign a speaker registration form for each item on the agenda to which you wish to speak. Those forms are available out here at the desk. The chairman is in charge of this meeting, and by law, it is his duty to preserve order, direct the order of the hearing, and recognize persons to be heard. I will be assisting the chairman today as sergeant-at-arms. We have sign-up cards for everyone wishing to speak, and the chairman will call names from those cards one at a time. Each person will be allowed to speak from the podium here in the center one at a time. When your name is called, please come to the podium, state your name, and who you represent, if anyone other than yourself, and the chairman will probably also call the on-deck person, the person to come up next, and you'll be ready. Then state your position on the agenda item under consideration, and add supporting facts that will help the Commission understand your concerns. Please limit your remarks to the specific agenda item under consideration. Each person who wants to address the Commission will have 3 minutes to speak. I will keep track of time on this handy-dandy little boom-jigger right there and notify you when your 3 minutes are up. When your time is up, please resume your seat so that others may speak. Your time will be extended if a commissioner has a question for you. If the commissioners ask a question and get into a discussion among themselves, that time will not be counted against you. Statements that are merely argumentative or critical of others will not be tolerated. There is a microphone at the podium, so it is not necessary to raise your voice. Shouting will not be tolerated. I ask that you show proper respect for the commissioners as well as other members of the audience. If you have written materials to give to the commission, please give them to Carol Hemby or Michelle Klaus, who are seated here at my right. They will pass those materials to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bob. Next is the approval of minutes from the previous meeting, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval? Moved by Friedkin, second by Vice Chairman Ramos. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, hearing none. Motion passes. All right. Next up is the acceptance of the donation list, which has also been distributed. Is there a motion for approval? Moved by Holt, second by Ramos. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Motion passes. Next up, Bob, are the service awards and special recognition.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, members of the audience. We always take a few minutes at the start of each commission meeting to recognize our employees who have given faithful service to this agency, to conservation, and to the state of Texas. We appreciate your being here for this, and we are really proud of these folks, and we want to give them this recognition. First of all, we'll start out with our retirement certificates. From the Law Enforcement Division, Stephen Backer, Game Warden, Kerrville, Texas, with 29 years of service. Steve began his career with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department in May of 1975 upon graduation from the 31st Game Warden Academy. Steve's first station was Refugio County for 9 months and then went to Wilson County. He was transferred to McMullen County in 1979. In 1985, Steve resigned for a short while to become a special ranger for the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. In 1987, he returned to the department and was stationed in Alvin, Texas. In 1991, he transferred to Kerr County for the remainder of his career. During his tenure with the department, Steve was awarded the Certificate of Special Commendation in 1998, the Director's Citation in 2004, and the Medal for Heroism in 2005 by the National Society of the Sons of the American Revolution. Retiring with 29 years of service, Stephen Backer. From the Infrastructure Division, Joe Austin, Engineering Specialist 5, Mission, Texas, with 18 years of service. Joe Austin began his career with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department after 7 years in the Marines, with assignments like teaching hand-to-hand combat and a stint at Zachary Construction as an explosive expert. He started out as a construction inspector with his first big project of inspecting the development of Cedar Hill State Park, including the restoration of Penn Farm. Moving around the state, Joe willingly accepted assignments and was the chief inspector at projects that include the Battleship Texas restoration, the A.E. Wood Fish Hatchery development, and the Dundee Fish Hatchery pond renovations. Joe spent 5 years as a TPWD inspector for the San Jacinto Monument exterior restoration, where he inspected thousands of replacement pieces of limestone while suspended from a swing scaffold that hung from the star of the monument 500 feet above the ground. I've been in that observation window, and I'm not sure. His work has taken him as far north as Palo Canyon State Park, as far south as the lower Rio Grande Valley. Joe admits that some of his fondest memories of Parks and Wildlife are being able to ride with the Buffalo Soldiers from Plainview to Kinquay, spending the night with the Sea Scouts on Battleship Texas, and exploring Palo Canyon on his horse. Joe's retirement plans include continuing to visit the parks he loves. With 18 years of service, Joe Austin. Service awards, people who continue to serve in the agency. From Inland Fisheries, John Mochigamba, Natural Resource Specialist 5, Pottsboro, Texas, with 35 years of service. John Mochigamba began his career with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department on graduation from Texas A&M University in May of 1969 as a summer intern at the Inland Fisheries District Office in San Antonio, where under the supervision of Bob Kemp, he studied life history of flathead catfish in the Medina and Rio Grande Rivers. After a tour in the Army, John started working again for TPWD on November 1st of 1971 with the Inland Fisheries Division at the Lake Texoma Fishery Station under Ed Bond and later Bruce Highsmith. John's biggest project was striped bass introduction into Texas from 1971 to 76, where he was involved with broodstock procurement and spawning operation at Lake Spence and Toledo Bend, hatchery rearing of striped bass fingerlings at the Louisville hatchery, stocking fingerling striped bass, and evaluation of those introductions in the early days of the project. Other projects that he has been involved in include the experimental stocking of walleye into Lake Cypress Springs, impacts of increased hybrid striped bass stocking, hooking mortality of striped bass in Lake Texoma, and evaluation of reduced striped bass bag limit in Lake Texoma. John has served the Texas chapter, American Fisheries Society, as committee chairman for the nominating committee and the awards committee. John shares that the most rewarding times have been teaching kids to fish and working in the outdoors with people who love it as much as he does. With 35 years of service, John Mochigamba. From the Coastal Fisheries Division, Karen L. Metter, Natural Resource Specialist 6, Rockport, Texas, with 30 years of service. Karen Metter began her career with Texas Parks and Wildlife Department on September the 8th, 1976, in Austin, working with Inland Fisheries on their federal aid reports. In May of 1978, Karen transferred to Rockport to work for Coastal Fisheries, where she has been involved in all aspects of the resource and harvest monitoring programs in Aransas Bay, Corpus Christi Bay, and the Gulf of Mexico. While moving up the ranks, she has been the ecosystem leader for Aransas Bay since November of 1972. supervising a 6 to 8 member sampling team. She has worked with the Gulf States Marine Fisheries Commission on the regional management plan for black drum and has been an active member of both the marine mammal and sea turtle stranding networks since their beginnings in 1980. Karen participated in Coastal Fisheries Initiative to evaluate our past shrimp management in Texas, which resulted in significant regulation changes during 2000. She is currently serving on the shrimp committee for the Gulf of Mexico Fisheries Management Council. Karen and her staff are now extensively involved in promoting seagrass conservation in the Redfish Bay State Scientific Area and contributed to the passage of this first habitat regulation on the Texas coast. With 30 years of service, Karen Meadow. From the Wildlife Division, Johnny Comstock, Staff Services Officer 1, San Angelo, Texas, with 25 years of service. Johnny Comstock began her Texas Parks and Wildlife Department career as a Regional Secretary for the Wildlife Division in San Angelo on October the 19th, 1981. She worked with my friend Bob West, Regional Director, for 15 years, and now Ruben Cantu, Regional Director, for 10 years. She is the hub of Region 1's personnel actions, purchasing, receiving, budget reports, and much more. She has been a part of many activities in the region, including bighorn sheep restoration in the Trans-Pecos, turkey trapping in the Panhandle, and the building of the bison pens for the Texas bison herd at Caprock Canyons. Johnny has been involved with the data entry of employee timesheets, vehicle reports, purchase orders, and procurement card transactions. She provides a clerical training for 1 full-time and 3 part-time administrative assistants in the San Angelo Regional Office. Johnny is a dedicated, loyal employee providing continuity for the field staff and Austin headquarters wildlife staff. With 25 years of service, Johnny Comstock. From the Inland Fisheries Division, Gary Pace Garrett, Program Specialist 5, Ingram, Texas, with 25 years of service. Dr. Gary Garrett began his career with TPWD in October of 1981 and functions as a senior research biologist at the Heart of the Hills Fisheries Science Center. His research focuses on the conservation of aquatic natural resources in Texas, and he has authored more than 60 scientific publications on the subject. Dr. Garrett serves on 4 advisory teams for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and is a fellow of the Texas Academy of Science, a research fellow at the University of Texas, visiting professor at Texas A&M University, an adjunct professor at Texas State University, and is on the board of scientists for the Chihuahuan Desert Research Institute. He has received numerous awards for his conservation research efforts, including the Sutton Award for Conservation Research from the Southwestern Association of Naturalists and the Conservation Recognition Award from the Texas Organization for Endangered Species. With 25 years of service, Dr. Gary Garrett. Gary said he was from Ingram. He's really from Mountain Home. You know. From the State Parks Division, Ken Pollard, Program Specialist 4, Austin, Texas, with 25 years of service. Ken Pollard began his career with TPWD as a part-time employee, working as a park ranger on the Mother Neff State Park from 1973 until 1977. After a break in service to pursue a maintenance degree and certification at the Texas State Technical Institute, he rejoined the department as a full-time employee on October the 30th, 1981, at Lake Louisville and Ray Roberts Lake State Park. In 1990, Ken was promoted to regional maintenance specialist in the Panhandle. Ken transferred to Austin headquarters in 1995 to develop and expand the Buffalo Soldiers Initiative into a statewide program. He is now the program supervisor of the Texas Buffalo Soldiers Heritage Trail Program and commanding officer of the Texas Buffalo Soldiers Regiment, which is composed of a national and statewide network of parks and wildlife staff and program partners who demonstrate the shared heritage of the Buffalo Soldiers. Cowboys, vaqueros, American Indians, frontier women, and other cultural groups in Texas. During the 76th legislative session, Ken assisted with Senate Bill 1457, designated the month of July as Texas Buffalo Soldiers Heritage Month, and during the 79th session, he assisted with House Resolution 1611, which recognizes the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the Texas Historical Commission with the development of the Texas Buffalo Soldiers Heritage Trail. During his tenure with the department, Ken has received numerous awards and recognition, including the Southern Living Magazine Texas Living Lone Star Award, Texas Parks and Wildlife Community Outreach Award, Preservation Texas Heritage Education Award, and he is a 2006 inductee into the National Cowboys of Color Hall of Fame. With 25 years of service, Ken Pollard. Get into any trouble anywhere in Texas, just say, Ken Pollard's a friend of mine. That'll carry you quite a ways. You know, yesterday in our meeting, I mentioned to you that we are had recently kicked off our 52nd Game Warden Academy with a class of 25 outstanding cadets. The next group of individuals I'm going to introduce to you and recognize for 20 years of service graduated on September the 1st of 1986 from the 40th Game Warden Cadet Class. And I got to tell you, I know a number of these folks. They are outstanding. The folks that we're putting in cadet classes now are outstanding young people. These Game Wardens have served us well and have done an outstanding job. 36 wardens graduated in that class, and 31 of them are still with the department today. From the Law Enforcement Division, Trent Lewis Anderson, Captain, Amarillo, Texas, with 20 years of service. Trent's first duty station was in Plainview, Texas, where he served for 6 years. He then transferred to Crosby County and worked there for 4 years. Trent was then promoted to Captain Game Warden in Amarillo on September the 1st, 1996, where he's been stationed for the last 10 years. With 20 years of service, Captain Trent Anderson. From the Law Enforcement Division, Bradley L. Chapel, Sergeant, Carthage, Texas, with 20 years of service. Brad's first assignment as a field game warden was in Sabine County in Deep East Texas. And some of you may remember what Deep East Texas was like 20 years ago. On May the 1st of 1991, Brad transferred to Panola County, where he was assigned until he was promoted to Sergeant Wildlife Investigator in October of 2002. Brad is the 1999 recipient of the Shikar Safari International Wildlife Officer of the Year Award for the state of Texas. With 20 years of service, Sergeant Brad Chapel. Victor A. Gonzalez, Game Warden, Giddings, Texas. First duty station was in Galveston County from 1987 to 1993 during the last phase of the commercial gill netting for game and non-game species. His second duty station was in Bastrop County from 1993 to 1996, where he was one of the five original river wardens assigned to provide full-time water safety enforcement and promote tourism. His third duty station was in Lee County in 1996. Warden Gonzalez was one of many wardens who assisted with the post-Hurricane Rita operation in East Texas. Victor is the Region 9 Director for the Texas Game Warden Association and the Game Warden Peace Officers Association. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Victor Gonzalez. From the Law Enforcement Division, Jacinto L. Gonzalez, Game Warden, Brownsville, Texas, 20 years of service. Jacinto has been stationed in Cameron County since graduation from the Game Warden Academy. He spent four of those years in Arroyo City, and he's been in Brownsville for 16 years. Jacinto is a certified CPR instructor and has also completed the intoxilizer certification. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Jacinto Gonzalez. From the Law Enforcement Division, Robert D. Goodrich, Captain, Temple, Texas. Robert's first duty station was Port Aransas, where he stayed for 5.5 years. While there, he received the Game Warden of the Year Award from the Gulf Coast Conservation Association for two consecutive years in 1989 and 1990 due to his efforts in stopping illegal netting operations in the Corpus Christi and Port Aransas area. Robert also took the district position of Fish House Investigator and was responsible for establishing the department's ability to distinguish wild from farm-raised redfish in cooperation with department biologist Lorraine Price. This forensic ability was tested and validated in several court cases in Corpus Christi, leading to the prevention of wild redfish from being substituted for farm-raised. Robert transferred to Concho County in 1992, where he spent 4 years, and then in 1996, transferred to Williamson County as the game warden. In February of 1999, Robert was promoted to Lieutenant Game Warden, instructor at the Game Warden Training Academy in Austin. He was an instructor at the academy for 3.5 years, and then was promoted on November the 1st, 2002, to his current position of Captain Game Warden in Temple, Texas. With 20 years of service, Captain Robert Goodrich. By the way, Robert and his wife are celebrating their 21st wedding anniversary today. We should have had a recognition plaque for his life. Sure. From the Law Enforcement Division, Jerry Gordon, Game Warden, Doss, Texas, with 20 years of service. Jerry's first duty station was in Seabrook from 1987 to 1991. Jerry then transferred to Clarksville and remained there until 2003 when he moved to Mason County, where he is presently stationed. In 1998, he was named the Midwestern Association of Fish and Wildlife Officer of the Year. And in 1999, Jerry was named the Northeast Texas Council of Governments Employee of the Year. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Jerry Gordon. From the Law Enforcement Division, Audie W. Hamm, Game Warden, Athens, Texas. Audie's first duty station was Clarksville in Red River County. Audie transferred to Jayton in Kent County, and while working on the Platte River Lake in May of 1994, he and his supervisor, Mokey McCary, pulled a female victim from the lake and saved her from drowning. He and his supervisor were presented with a certificate of commendation recognizing them for outstanding service to the community. From Jayton, he transferred to Tulia in Swisher County and then transferred to his present duty station in Henderson County. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Audie Hamm. From the Law Enforcement Division, Raymond C. Jaramillo, Game Warden, Menard, Texas, with 20 years of service. Warden Jaramillo's first assignment was Rockport, Texas, in Aransas County. During his time there, he became involved with 4-H Club and received an award for beach cleanups, Keeping America Beautiful, in Washington, D.C. In September of 1994, he transferred to Menard County, where he is currently stationed and enjoys organizing and coordinating outdoor activities for underprivileged children. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Raymond Jaramillo. From the Law Enforcement Division, Wayne L. Schwartz, Game Warden, Rio Grande City, Texas, with 20 years of service. Warden Schwartz began his service in Cameron County in Brownsville, Texas. In April of 1993, he transferred to Hebronville with an assignment to work Duval County. In November of 1997, he transferred to Rio Grande City in Starr County, where he is a proud member of the team that is attempting to regain Falcon Lake for legal fishermen. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Wayne Schwartz. Also from this class, Law Enforcement Division, Daniel S. Shaw, Captain, San Antonio, Texas. Danny's first duty assignment was in Cameron County at Port Isabel, Texas. He transferred to Jim Wells County and then to Kaufman County. He was promoted to Lieutenant Game Warden in May of 2002 and to Captain Game Warden in San Antonio, Texas in November of 2004. With 20 years of service, Captain Danny Shaw. From the Law Enforcement Division, James H. Yetter, Sr., Game Warden in Acogdoches, Texas, with 20 years of service. Jim's first duty station was Matagorda Island in Calhoun County, where he remained until April of 1991 when he transferred to Shelby County. In April of 2004, he transferred to his present duty station in Acogdoches County. With 20 years of service, Game Warden Jim Yetter, Sr. From the Law Enforcement Division, Larry E. Young, Major, Corpus Christi, Texas, with 20 years of service. Major Young began his career as a field game warden in Calhoun County. Y'all will notice several of these gentlemen started out in places like Calhoun County. I think
when they came out of cadet class, they had some special abilities that got them in some of those locations. I'm sure Major Young qualified well. In 1993, Larry Young transferred as a field game warden to Travis County. In 94, he transferred to Tarrant County when he was promoted to the rank of lieutenant, where he worked in the Fort Worth Regional Law Enforcement Office. He later transferred to Corpus Christi, where he continued to serve as a regional lieutenant. In 2001, Lieutenant Young was promoted to the rank of Chief of Fisheries Enforcement and moved to Austin headquarters for 3 years. In 2004, he returned to the field as a major over law enforcement in the Corpus Christi region, the position he holds today. Major Young also served 2 terms as president of the Texas Game Warden Association. With 20 years of service, Major Larry Young. Includes our retirement and service awards for the day, and I can't tell you how proud of all of these people I am, and I thank them all. Next on our list, Mr. Chairman, each year the Shikar Safari International recognizes game wardens from North America as Wildlife Conservation Officers of the Year. This marks the 27th year this award has been presented to a deserving Texas game warden. And here with us today from Shikar Safari is Don Berg, Eric Stumberg, and Danny Butler. Eric told me that Lewis would have been here, Pastor Mr. Lewis Stumberg, but he was doing something much more important, and I'll let you guess what that is. It means he's hunting somewhere. The Texas Wildlife Officer of the Year for 2006 is Randall Hayes, who graduated from the Texas Game Warden Training Academy in June of 1984. His first duty station was in Denton County. In April of 1988, he resigned and went to work for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In September of 89, Randall requested reinstatement and was assigned to Corpus Christi, Nueces County. In April of 1993, he transferred to Weatherford, where he excels in all areas of game, fish, water safety, and public safety enforcement through education, deterrence, and apprehension. During Randall's career, he has had an excellent work record and displays a positive and willing attitude. He is a leader in his community by providing hunting and fishing opportunities for several youth homes. Randall works with the landowners to provide a place that will allow youth the opportunity to learn and enjoy all kinds of outdoor activities. As an educator, Randall excels as a certified marine safety officer instructor, boater angler hunter education instructor, and a certified peace officer classroom instructor. His experience and investigative skills have allowed him to make a wide variety of cases, such as boating while intoxicated, taking deer without landowner consent, hunting deer from public highways, hunting deer at night, convicted felons hunting with firearms, and felony drug arrests. Randall's commitment to providing safe public waters has made him a leader in boating while intoxicated enforcement. He continues to lead his district in boating while intoxicated enforcement and assist with training new wardens in this effort. It is action and results like these that gives me great pleasure in recognizing Game Warden Randall Hayes as the Shikar Safari International 2006 Texas Wildlife Conservation Officer of the Year. And I'll ask that the gentleman from Shikar Safari join me up here for a photograph. Randall? Let's move back right here a little bit. Danny? Come
here. If I could just say a few words. Shikar Safari Club International has been doing this now for 27 years. We do this in every state in the union and every province in Canada, and it's a big award. We're proud of this, but what we're most proud of, being a Texan here, I'm most proud of what you guys are doing. I mean, every citizen of the state of Texas ought to see what's going on here today and be proud of everything you're doing. And Randall, because it's such a great organization, and because you were selected by your superiors and your peers, I mean, what a great honor that is to be honored by this group of people out here. I mean, what a great honor that is, and I know you must be proud of this. And we're very proud to present to you Sheik Car Safari Wildlife Officer of the Year Award.
Okay, Chase, where you want us? Right back here. Okay, good. Next, we would like to recognize some of our corporate partners who provide their time and money to make many of our TPWD programs available. Several of those partners in the audience today. At this time, I would like to turn the program over to Dick Davis, Executive Director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, who will introduce these folks and tell you about their work and contributions to conservation. Dick?
Thank you. I am Dick Davis, Executive Director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Commissioners, Mr. Cook, the foundation has a rich, successful history, and we're doing well today. We've supported ourselves in the past primarily with contributions to the foundation from individuals, but it's my belief that in the future we will only be successful if we reach out to corporate Texas and to other conservation organizations to continue our work on your behalf. So this morning I am introducing you to, or reacquainting you with, some of our longtime and some of our brand new corporate partners and conservation organization partners. As I name each one of them, I would like for them to stand and remain standing until the entire group has been recognized, and then after that I will tell you some specific information about their support. Paul Martin is here today representing Anheuser-Busch. He's Senior Region Sales Manager in the back. ExxonMobil is represented by Sarah Tyes. I haven't seen her this morning, but she is our contact at ExxonMobil, and she is the Texas Field Public Affairs Manager. Gray Thornton is the Executive Director of the Dallas Safari Club, and he is here today. Hunter Henry is here today representing Goldman Sachs, and Hunter is a professional in the Private Wealth Management Group. Katie Scallon, who is Manager of Marketing Partnerships, is here today representing Toyota. Dr. Paul Zawacker, Director, TXU's Director of Environmental Services, is here today. Shell Oil Company is represented here today by Kenan Goldman. And Lisa Ellidge is here today representing Walmart. Lisa is the State Government Relations Manager. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Each of these partners provides direct support to the foundation, but some of these partners provide project support for priority projects that the department would like to conduct. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of an example. Anheuser-Busch supports the Share Lunker program, Big Time Texas Hunts, Public Dove Hunting, Hook and Bullet, the Expo and the Expo Conservation Banquet. Flat Out Fishing, the Coastal Fisheries Bay Team, Texas Big Game Awards, and the Texas Game Warden Field Sobriety Training. Toyota funds Texas State Park Guides, State Park Maps, State Park Interpretive Brochures, the Expo and Expo Conservation Banquet, Pocket License Holders and Regulation Cards, the Life's Better Outside Program, and our Conservation License Plates Program. The Dallas Safari Club teams with Toyota to co-fund the Archery in Schools Program. This essentially doubles the impact of the program's outreach. ExxonMobil is helping fund the rebuilding process at Sabine Pass Battleground State Park, which was damaged extensively by Hurricane Rita. And Shell is the underwriting sponsor of the 2007 water documentary being produced by the department for PBS and narrated by Walter Cronkite. Expanding the scope of these partnerships is something that we have as a priority. In some cases, we may be able to work with these existing partners to design and implement and manage initiatives that help each of these partners reach their own conservation and environmental goals, and at the same time, help the department reach its objectives. We're also prioritizing reaching out to other organizations around the state to develop similar relationships. So I have two requests for you today. One is to think about the people you know who run or who are associated with major corporations and who are the leadership of conservation organizations, and consider introducing them to me so that we can begin a relationship or discussions that may lead to a conservation partnership, and that we may discuss with them a strategic alliance. Second is to thank these folks at every opportunity. In fact, if you could take them to lunch, or if you could take them into the field with you to get to know them a little bit better and develop long-lasting relationships, that would be excellent. We cannot thank these people enough. These friends and conservation partners are not only greatly appreciated, but they are absolutely essential to helping us accomplish our mission, which is to manage and protect the unique natural and cultural resources of Texas and to provide hunting and fishing outdoor recreation opportunities for present and future generations. I, for one, am proud to have these excellent people and these excellent organizations and corporations to stand shoulder to shoulder with to move into the future. So that completes my presentation. If you have questions or comments, please ask or state them. Otherwise, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dick. Thanks for your hard work in this area and making the Corporate Conservation Partners Program really work. And thank you to all the corporate partners. It makes a difference. Every one of those programs is moving the ball, and that's where it happens on the ground. I thank you.
I might just add, I serve as the foundation, the commission liaison, the foundation. Dick has done a wonderful job organizing this group, and folks, we really appreciate what you do. The foundation is an essential part of this overall effort to promote conservation and outdoor recreation, hunting and fishing in Texas, and we on the commission realize the importance of what you're doing and the importance of your support of the foundation. So thank you all for what you're doing. Thank you all, many of you in Fort Worth last week at the event. Appreciate you attending and supporting all the foundation events. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dick. And for all of our partners who are here today, I want to say thank you from our staff. Our people, who some of you met today and were introduced to, some of those you have worked with directly, some of those their programs and your programs work together, and we appreciate you very much, and we thank you very much, each and every one of you. Talking about partners, This next item brings forward a partner that is not just a partner, but a friend. We've worked very closely with. We have several other folks in the audience today, several other partners, friends. Ducks Unlimited is here today. The Paragon Fund is here today. All important to us. This next group, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, works with us in partnership across the state on migratory species that impact the entire nation and other countries, and we appreciate them. It is my distinct pleasure, our distinct pleasure, to have several of our friends from the Department of Interior and Fish and Wildlife Service here today for this important event. I would like to especially recognize Lynn Scarlett, Benjamin Tuggle, Joy Nicolopoulos, Tom Cloud, and John Hughes, all from the Fish and Wildlife Service. We've also got Heather Whitlaw here today. We're here to sign a new candidate conservation agreement for the lesser prairie chicken, a candidate species. The purpose of this conservation agreement is for TPWD to join with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to implement conservation measures for the lesser prairie chicken in Texas in support of TPWD's ongoing and future efforts to manage, conserve, and recover the species. Under this conservation agreement, TPWD will issue certificates of inclusion to private landowners who enter into TPWD-approved wildlife management plans for the lesser prairie chicken and are actively implementing conservation measures for the conservation of this species. The conservation measures implemented by participating landowners would generally consist of prescribed grazing, prescribed burning, brush management, conservation reserve program and cropland management, and range seeding. An additional purpose of this conservation agreement is to provide a mechanism of assuring private landowners through certificates of inclusion that no additional conservation measures other than those agreed upon in the wildlife management plan will be required of them if the lesser prairie chicken becomes listed as threatened or endangered under the Endangered Species Act. Such an agreement will alleviate private property rights concern as well as generate support from private landowners. At this time, I would ask Fish and Wildlife Service Regional Director Ben Tuggle to come forward and introduce the folks from his staff who will say a few words. Ben?
Good morning, Chairman, members of the Commission. I have two things that I'd like to do this morning. First, I'd like to apologize for not having a tie. Bob told me I didn't need one. So that's the first thing.
Oh, hold your mind.
That's the first thing I'd like to do. The second thing I'd like to do this morning is to really thank all of you and to thank the Commission for giving us this opportunity to come and address you today. Some of the things that Bob has already laid out are extremely important to us, I think, primarily because we've heard all this morning discussions about partnerships, and with the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Department of the Interior, it is extremely important that we work with our state partners and our private landowners to make sure that we, number one, have every opportunity to put conservation measures on the landscape that are going to be beneficial not only for the species that are important to us, but also for the landowners that are on the landscape. The second thing I'd like to share with you today is the fact that we are talking about an agreement here that stabilizes what we consider some efforts to try to make sure that this species does not get listed. A lot of attention is always paid to species that are on the list. We need to pay equal amount of attention to the species that we don't have to list and put conservation measures on the landscape that allow all of our species to be recovered. So we're extremely happy that you have had the foresight and the leadership on Bob's part and also his staff to join with us in this agreement, because we think this is tremendously significant, and we're trying to use this as a model situation across this nation to further our conservation needs. This morning I'd also like to introduce to you our Deputy Secretary, Lynn Scarlett. I think the fact that she is here is a testament to how important this is to us. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Lynn Scarlett to you.
Uh, Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Director Cook, I am delighted to be here on behalf of Department of the Interior. This agreement, this Canada Conservation Agreement that we will be signing, is indeed notable. The lesser prairie chicken itself, perhaps an inauspicious bird, nonetheless, is a bird that resides on landscapes that are diminishing and fragmenting. Its future depends on citizen stewardship, on conservation by landowners across this great state and its neighboring states. This Cooperative Conservation Canada Conservation Agreement provides the foundation for that citizen stewardship. As you heard Ben Tuggle's note, this agreement allows landowners to move forward with improvements, restoration of those landscapes, and at the same time have regulatory assurances that their good works will be celebrated rather than constrained. In August 2004, President Bush announced an executive order on cooperative conservation. That executive order set forth a vision in which we understand that it is citizen stewardship that will be the main conduit for conservation in this 21st century. Cooperative conservation is a vision that recognizes the importance of respecting property rights. It's a vision that also understands that real conservation must reside in the ideas from folks on the ground. Folks who live on the land, know the land, we need to tap their knowledge, their ideas to inform our decisions and work with them in partnership. It's a vision also that understands that 21st century conservation is predicated on landscape scale conservation. And Mr. Chairman, this agreement that your folks have worked so hard with our U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to put together really is a primary example of what President Bush had in mind when he talked about cooperative conservation. So it is my great pleasure to be a part of this signing event and to recognize your good works, to thank the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department for their leadership in this effort. We see this particular agreement as one that holds forth great promise for similar agreements across the nation. So I'm delighted to be here, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary Scarlett. It's good to see you again, and I can't help but point out that the philosophy that you're describing had its birth here at this department under Chairman Bass some 8-10 years ago. The whole landowner incentive program that you now have at the Department of Interior, President Bush brought from Texas with our original landowner incentive program. And you're absolutely right. The philosophy of this department has always been the people closest to the resource will have the greatest impact, for better or worse. And this is a great example for the better. And I wish Heather were here, because is she here? Well, I hope you're going to recognize Heather, because somebody had to do the work on the ground, and Heather was the one. As you know, the lesser prairie chicken has been a priority of mine since I came on the commission. And Heather, thank you for your hard work. It wasn't easy getting here. Thank you. And Mike, we should all probably recognize her boss, Mike. He had the good sense to, you know, to have her working for him.
I started to say, Mr. Chairman, we all come up and talk and wave the flag and get our pictures taken. And
right.
Heather Whitlaw from Lubbock, Texas, who is here today, who I'm going to ask to come forward, and her partner in all of this program, Steve DeMasso from the Wildlife Division, are actually the people who get it done.
That's right.
And work right with the people on the ground. And as we do this, I'd like for them to come forward.
Please
and,
do. Heather?
We'll sign this
Steve?
Document right quick and be
Heather
on.
Heather Whitlaw is the best thing to come out of Canada since Northern Dancers.
John?
Anybody else know who Northern Dancer was?
Yeah. and let's get one. Chase?
Great.
Thank you very much. I can't help but mention that this young gentleman, John Hughes, Fish and Wildlife, although they are our friends and our partners, they occasionally steal away some of our top-notch employees. So we reserve the right to steal them back, though. Thank you again very much, Mr. Chairman. That concludes our process here, and we thank you again.
Thanks. I've been fortunate to go up there with Heather and some of the staff and see the habitat and see the birds, and it's worth the trip for any of the commissioners that are interested, because this is as important a test of our model as there is out there. This bird and its habitat will be saved only by private action and private stewardship. So if we're right about the way we do things, this is a great test. All right.